Morning Show. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson.
And I'm Dr. Richard Marshall.
It's a terrific Thursday, November 10, 2016.
Wow.
It's just flying by.
Is that 10?
It is. Oh, already. So today we're going to talk about a really interesting article that I found last week from about the Harvard soccer team, Harvard men's soccer team.
Right.
And in the article, and I'll post a link in the show notes, but in the article, what they talked about is that the school suspended the entire team, the season. They canceled their entire season because of some of their actions. And their actions is what we want to spend some time talking about today.
Okay. So the reason why the season was suspended. Canceled.
They canceled it because many of the men on the team were making disparaging comments and rating girls on the or women on the women's soccer team.
So the men's soccer team
players on the men's soccer team
were rating the women on the women's soccer team in terms of their
physical appearance because of the way that they played, not because of their skills or anything like that, but they were doing so because of their appearance. And now the reason that this was important was, I guess back in 2012, they had a similar problem that actually at that time, some of the players published it like in a newsletter where they rated some of the female players based upon their appearance. Mm-hmm. And so there was some reprimand there. And because it's happened again, the school said, okay, that's it. Nope. You guys are not, your season's over before it even starts.
Didn't Facebook start that way?
Well, Facebook started as a way to communicate, to make friends and keep in connection with
weren't
individuals.
They rating, wasn't the original, not the original one, but not the original Facebook, but the program Facebook eventually was
based on. Yeah, I think
on.
So. Yeah.
It was a rating thing where they rated girls, college girls, according to their looks.
Right.
And then Facebook sort of expanded on that.
I think so.
Not that Facebook did it, but it was built on a program that did
right.
So these guys just were doing that. They were just rating girls on their physical appearance.
Right. Okay. And so what the reason that we wanted to talk about this is because you and I, we both have teenage girls. My daughter graduated last year. Your daughter graduates this year.
Right.
And so it brings up a really important point, I think, a really important topic, and that is, how do you raise strong, confident, and successful girls in a society, in a culture that in many ways continues to value them on only one somewhat predetermined feature, and that is their appearance? You know, I think that you've made this comment to me before. When it comes to that kind of thing, that's inherited. You know, we look the way that we look because of the way that our parents look, and
it's
because
luck of the genetic draw.
Right. Mm-hmm. Sure. Girls can use, and girls do this, of course, more than boys, but we can do things to enhance our features. We can do things to enhance our appearance and things like that. Right. But the base is there.
And
you're not going to really change. Well, I mean,
short of plastic surgery.
Right.
Okay, you can enhance what you have, but you can't change what you have unless you have plastic surgery, and a teenager is not going to have plastic surgery.
Right.
Okay? Or a young girl won't have plastic surgery.
Right. So how do we raise confident and strong girls in a culture where I think many girls know this from the beginning. I mean, the way that we see, I remember when my son was growing up, we would go look for, cool clothes for him and everything. And and if we just look at the type of clothing that we have for children, boys' clothing are almost always sports related, they're physical, they're that kind of thing. Girls' clothes are always cute and pretty, and there's relatively rarely do we find girls' clothes with soccer balls and baseballs and footballs and things like that on it. And I think it's so entrained within our mentality. If you see a baby with a onesie on that has a football on it, we automatically assume that it's a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that that's necessarily, I don't know that we necessarily say that's wrong to make that assumption, because most of the time it is, but it certainly is where the foundation, I think, begins mm-hmm. with the way that we, you know, treat gender differently. You know, it starts from the very beginning.
That's right. We've made, I think everybody would agree that we've made enormous progress. Right. I had a slide for the talk that I did last week, and one of the definitions we deal with in our field was first written in 1957.
Right.
And it still exists today. We're still living with that definition. And so I pulled up some old pictures. One of them was a television set. One was a McDonald's. It mm-hmm. said, "So we've sold over 50 million.
Right.
Okay. Well, now they're up to over 100 billion.
Right.
And they don't have a counter, so they just told their franchisees, just say over 100 billion.
Right.
Okay. But one of the pictures was of a housewife, and the man in a suit came home to his wife in an apron and said, "Honey, I don't know how you do it, you cooking and cleaning and all that." And she said, "Well, it's I take my vitamins and it allows me to be better at cleaning out, you know, all that stuff." And the audience cracked up. I mean, they really got a kick out of that. They wanted to know where I got it and all that. So we've made progress, certainly, since the 50s and 60s. We have really made a lot of progress. However, when you think of shows like Toddlers in Tierra, what are they selling?
Right.
Girls cute, okay?
Right.
The whole Kardashian phenomenon.
Right.
You know, I've always asked, what do they, when I first heard about them, what do they do? Well, they don't do anything. They're just attractive.
Mm-hmm,
and, you know, they sell this sort of highly sexualized, beautiful woman image. That's what's on TV.
Right.
You know, that we still have this notion that women should be beautiful, seductive, attractive, available, and even female athletes.
Right.
You know, we look at them in this sort of highly sexualized way. And having daughters growing up in this world, you can see them struggling with, do I want to be cute or do I want to be smart?
Right.
Do I want to be cute or do I want to be competent? What do I do about this? You know, they're competing with other girls for the attention of other people, boys and girls. And so you can see them struggling with where do I want to be? Where do I want to fit into this
thing?
And being cute is valued, and they know that.
Right. And this is seen, you know, the research has really demonstrated this as a prevailing aspect of a lot of the different differences that we see in gender. For example, you know, we tend to think, and, you know, it's sort of, I don't know that it's common knowledge because it's wrong, but most of us, most people believe and work from the premise that boys are better at math and science.
Right.
Well, what the research actually shows is that girls were better at math and science until they reach an age when we tell them that they're not.
Right.
And that's usually in middle school or so.
Right.
And for some reason, and it's still sort of unknown why, we begin to communicate to girls that they're not good at math and science anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see girls who were very competent begin to drop, and they, instead of taking that AP Chem class in high school, they opt out to take, you know, another class. But it's not because they're not competent. It's not because they couldn't do it or can't do it.
Right.
It's because society is communicating to them that, oh no, that's not what girls do.
That's right. There are other more important things that you should be doing.
You
shouldn't do this. You should be doing this.
Right. Girls don't do engineering.
Right.
You know what? What are you thinking?
Right. Because you have to remember that social media, television, movies are all moving in another direction. They're all telling girls the most important thing is for you to be attractive and good looking and appealing to guys.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I think that some of the ways that we can help with this, or some of the ways that we can mediate some of these effects, is, again, it's going to start when our kids are really young.
Mm-hmm.
Rarely do we, you know, we tell our young boys, our little kids, we say, "Oh, you're so handsome, you're cute," and those kinds of things. But very quickly, by the time we use those kinds of words with boys, in a very restricted setting.
Right.
You know, when they're really dressed up, when they're doing something special, we'll say that kind of thing. But for some reason with girls, we say it all the time. You know, it's not very pretty when you act like that. And, you know, pretty girls don't do that. So we need to shift some of this, again, from the very beginning. And instead of focusing on reinforcing them based upon their appearance or how they look or how they're coming across, reinforce them based upon their competence. say, right. "Man, you did a great job on that chemistry test. You did a great job, and move them in the direction, introduce them into, mm-hmm. the computer sciences and math and natural sciences and things like that. Encourage them to do those things, instead of encouraging them to do the things that's more stereotypical for girls."
And what we're talking about here is, and you don't say, "Oh, you're so smart."
Right.
Because that's like saying you're so pretty.
Right.
You can't do anything about how smart you are.
Right.
You were born that way.
Right.
Okay. And so try to avoid what we call an entity view of anything, whether it's looks or smarts or whatever. Entity is, it can't change. What you want to focus on are issues that are incremental.
Right.
And you want your children to develop the incremental view of, okay, I'm not able to do that now, but if I work hard, if I practice, if I get some tutoring, if I get some lessons, I can accomplish it.
Right.
Okay? We're not born with any of these abilities. We mm-hmm. develop them over time. And so we want our children to have an incremental view, I can get better, rather than an entity view of I'm pretty or I'm smart, because you can't change that.
Right, okay? Right. Yeah, she doesn't really have... No, none of us really have any control over that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to, we've talked before on previous podcasts, I think I even said it earlier this week, the difference between an internal locus of control and an external locus of control. Right. Well, you want them to have an internal locus of control where they can say, this is something that I can manage. This is something that I can do.
Right.
I can study. I can expose myself to these kinds of things so that I can get better and I can become more competent.
That's right.
If it's all about how you rate me, how you judge me, well then now all I'm focused on is you, how you feel about me. And so it really takes control and power out of our daughter's hands.
Right.
And we really don't want to do that.
No, and that's right. And we want to always move them in the direction of you did well. Not, I don't ever want to say to my daughter, you're doing well in school because you're smart. I want to say, you're doing well, you've worked hard,
yeah.
You paid attention, you attended class, you paid attention in class, you did your homework, you did your practice, that's why you're doing better.
Right, right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So it all starts, I think, with our vocabulary, the way that we're communicating, what we're communicating, and the focus of that communication. What are you saying? How are you saying it? What are you valuing? Based upon what you're communicating to your child, what are you informing her is an important aspect of her and her life. And I think that we really need to be more cognizant of that. Many people aren't. We just say, when I was in college and I worked at Walmart, and there was the pink aisle, and that was just the aisle in the toy store, that toy department, that was just the pink aisle, mm-hmm. and that was the girls' aisle. Right. And now, what it sort of implied, and I think that what many people thought, that's the aisle for girls. All the other parts, that's for boys, but this part is for girls. Right. And no, we don't want to do that. We don't want to restrict and confine and make our girls feel as though this is the box that you have to fit in,
mm-hmm.
and if you don't fit in here, then you're different and you're not going to be accepted. Instead, we need to teach our girls that you are just as competent and just as able as anybody else. It doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl or anything else. I guess, on some programs, Facebook and things like that, you can be something besides boy and girl.
Right.
It doesn't matter what you are. You're able because you can put forth effort, you can work hard, you can do these things that's going to take you from where you are now to where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a characteristic of who you are, not how you look.
That's right. That's right.
So, work on that with your kids, because it makes me sad. Somebody told me the other day that, I just hope she marries a rich guy.
Yeah, right.
And it just kind of breaks your heart a little bit, because you think, man, she has so much potential, but we're not teaching her how to utilize it in a way that's going to get her where she would really want to be and how she could really be happy.
Right, right. Yeah, we have to be careful the messages we give our children. For those of you who can afford designer clothes, for example, or even those who are stretching your budget to get designer clothes, when you try to keep up by, I guess the latest fashion among children now is Vineyard Vine, the little designer clothes. They're very expensive, okay? But parents will stretch to get their clothes, get their children these expensive clothes, or very expensive purses, or very expensive shoes. When you give into that, you're saying to your children, you need to look a certain way, and we should be saying, let's go out and play, let's go out and practice, let's go out and do something. Yeah. It's you want to look a certain way, so you're sort of reinforcing this notion that
your acceptance depends on how you look
and whether you have the right clothes. What we should be doing is saying to our children, you don't have to dress them in flour sacks, but the clothes shouldn't be that important, because the message you're giving them is, for you to have value, you have to look a certain way, you know, and you have to wear a certain kind, certain brand, okay? And so be careful about what messages you send your children. It's not how they look, it's how they perform that we're interested in.
Absolutely. So don't create a box that doesn't have to be there.
Right. Don't create any more Kardashians.
Yes, please. So, all right. Well, have a great
Thursday.
Jeez. It's great. So tomorrow's Friday, and tomorrow we have some ideas, because you know what tomorrow is?
Friday.
It is Friday, but tomorrow is exactly 2 weeks before Black Friday. Wow. So we will be
Friday the 12th.
Yes. So we will be. We'll be focusing on...
It's Friday the 11th.
Yes.
Tomorrow's the 11th.
Yes.
So, 8, 9. Today's the 10th.
Uh-huh.
Armistice Day. 11th hour of the 11th month. 11th hour of the 11th month.
I don't remember where he uses that.
Okay. That's right. We forget about World War One.
World War One.
Mm-hmm. You weren't alive then?
No.
Okay.
I wasn't.
Tomorrow's November the 11th. That's Armistice Day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So, I don't know where we're going with
that. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
All right. So, have a great day today, though. Have a great Thursday.
Have a good Thursday.
And we will see you tomorrow morning.
Good day.
Bye-bye.